20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, and you can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am super excited because I am joined by a good friend that I don't get to talk to nearly enough, and thankfully, we are remedying that today. You can find her, of course, on Cheesehead TV, on Ask Maggie, Packs What She Said, Maggie J. Loney on Blue Sky. Maggie Loney, how the heck are you, my friend?
I'm good. I have a little cold. I warned you. So if anybody thinks that I sound weird, I'm drinking tea, okay? I'm trying to mitigate the damage.
This is one of the first times that I've talked to you where you haven't had a really cool beer and you've had to substitute for tea.
Pretty bummed about it.
I know. I can imagine. So I'm very sorry about that, but I appreciate you doing it and thank you for getting through it with me.
Yeah.
We do have a lot to get into. I'm really excited because we're on the precipice of NFL free agency. We are recording this on February 19th. It's probably going to air somewhere right before March, end of February. We're going to be getting into the point where Green Bay is probably adding some free agents. Some free agents are leaving, and they maybe have already cut people by the time people are listening to this, and they're going to have some real opportunity to shape this roster in a unique and a fun way. And it's going to be a really, really important offseason for Brian Gutekunst. So I've kind of looked at this roster already, where it's at, and maybe some things that they could do, but I love your mind for this stuff. And I wanted to pick your brain. So we're going to have you put on your Brian Gutekunst GM hat today and kind of go through this roster position by position. And we'll talk through what we think they need to do. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, bold of you to say that you like my brain for this stuff, but absolutely, let's do it.
No, you're very, very good at this stuff, so I'm super excited. Let's start right away at quarterback.
Okay.
They have, obviously, Jordan Love. They've got their franchise QB. They've got Desmond Ridder and then, Kyle McCord, and we all expect Malik Willis to be gone. So where are you at with QB? What do they need to do? What are you kind of looking at as to, if anything needs to be done, where they could kind of go in this direction?
Yeah, I know some people are trying to do the can you tag and trade Malik? Are there options to get more in return for him than just letting him walk? And I don't see any of that happening. I don't see the Packers being able to pay to keep him around as a QB2, especially with what Jordan Love is, making as a salary. And you don't want him to, I think Malik can go start somewhere and I think he'll get the opportunity to do that. So I think, you keep obviously Jordan as QB1 long-term, and then it's kind of up in the air, right? Like if Matt LaFleur was the guy that said, I want Desmond Ridder, then I think he sticks around and is a body at camp to develop. But beyond that, there's going to be a lot of interesting quarterbacks around in free agency as depth pieces. Like isn't like Will Levis available? Trey Lance.
Probably via trade. Yeah. Probably via trade for Will Levis. Maybe they cut him. Maybe they end up cutting him. But I think if you want to secure him, probably like a 7th round pick, something like that.
But yeah, I mean, like there's going to be options available. So if Matt LaFleur has like his pick as somebody he would like to take on as another QB developmental prospect, maybe in the same vein as Malik, I think you go for it, like Tyler Huntley, one of those kind of guys. But yeah, I think Jordan Love is really the only keeper here, unless, of course, like I said, Matt LaFleur is all in on Desmond Ridder, and he might be. We don't know. Yeah,
just going back to that franchise tag scenario, $47.3 million to franchise tag a QB. So you end up in two scenarios. Like A, as soon as you offer that, the agent accepts it. Like at best, you're probably looking at, $30, $35 million for Willis, which is now going up. I was kind of expecting $20, $25 million for Willis. If all of a sudden you have a franchise tag and you offer it at $47 million, they run and sign that as quick as they can. And then your issue is if he does get $30, $35 million, you're getting a 3rd round pick in a comp pick in a couple of years. If you sign him to a $47 million deal, there's probably still maybe some desire for it, but teams aren't going to want to give up a 3rd round pick in order to trade for that contract because now it's probably $12 million and maybe even $17 million. More than what they wanted to spend on it. So now you're giving them a disadvantageous contract. And now that you're not going to get that in return. So you're probably just better off letting them walk anyway and getting the better pick that way.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And I'm with you too. Will Levis is a name I've talked about. I think he makes a ton of sense, even if they have to give up a seventh round pick or something. And we saw exactly with Malik Willis with, you know, the Tennessee, not exactly a great scenario to be a part of. And then you go out and you get somebody like Levis, but Trey Lance could make sense if they want to try to do something for Anthony Richardson. I'd be for that as well. Just depends on what direction they want to go there. But I think a little bit more competition would go a long way. Maybe that's a draft pick. Maybe that's somewhere else, but I think just a little bit more competition.
Yeah, and just really quickly, I do like the idea of bringing in somebody that's a little bit more established.
Yes.
Because I know the Packers, they'll probably end up drafting a quarterback just as like a fourth QB in the room. They like to carry four into camp, you know, yep, for the extra arm. But I like the, you know, LaFleur ability to, you know, kind of look at some of these quarterbacks who have bounced around the league and give them an opportunity to like rejuvenate their career as a backup, because I think that experience, even if it's not always, you know, game winning experience, but the NFL experience clearly has meant a lot.
No, I'm right there with you. Let's go to running back. This is a really interesting conversation. Josh Jacobs, I think we all expect to be here. There is an interesting sort of cap savings and cut scenario, but I'll let you answer that. But then you have Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks as restricted free agents, and then Marshawn Lloyd, which you just never know exactly what to do with. You have some running backs that are on the 90 man as well, but those are your main four. How are you kind of viewing this position?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Jacobs is back. I think he should be back. You know, it's hard to look at his productivity behind the offensive line and what it was last season and think that he was, you know, a large part of the problem. So I would like him to stick around. I think he deserves to stick around. But yeah, Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson are both, you know, in that cheap category of like, you could potentially let them test the market, but knowing that you get kind of first dibs on offering them something comparable, I could see the Packers bringing back one or both just as extra bodies. The Marshawn Lloyd thing just really stinks. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to actually see him out there. And that is unfortunate because I thought that he had a lot of upside coming out of college. But I think this is certainly like a day three selection. It would truly shock me if they did it on night two and took a running back in the second or third round. But then they took AJ Dillon a couple of years ago, right, in the second round. So I suppose we can't rule anything out with them.
You never can, although running back with limited resources seems like it's probably not something they have the ability to do. And I'm not getting my hopes up on Marshawn Lloyd, but it does feel like they have that piece if they can just find a way to get him healthy. Yeah. I really just hope for his sake and for the Packers' sake and for our sake, we do get to see it because it is so tantalizing of what he could bring. And then, yeah, the decisions on Brooks and Wilson would be very interesting as well. Don't know if they think of anything of Pierre Strong or anything, but I'm with you. Day three selection, probably fifth, sixth, seventh round feels about right. Even sixth, seventh probably feels about right. But they find one fourth or fifth that they really like, they could take it. But I think that would bring in good competition for the room.
Yeah, and I mean, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, like the Packers have proven that they can find the day three guys and turn them into something. So certainly, like you said, wouldn't rule it out as a pick on day three.
Totally. Let's talk about wide receiver. Watson, Dobbs is a free agent. Jaden Reed, Wicks, Golden, Savion Williams, and those are all under contract. Bo Melton's an exclusive rights free agent, also is in between corners, special teams, wide receiver, etc. But he's still got 100 plus snaps this past year. They've got Jacoby Keeney-James, who ended on the active roster as well. And then they've got a couple on the practice squad, including Isaiah Nair and Will Shepard. Not a ton needed here. First of all, the big decision is Dobbs. And then where do you go after that?
Yeah, to me, I put Dobbs in the same category that I put guys like Rashid Walker, and we'll get to him, obviously. But like, I think somebody is going to overpay Romeo Dobbs. And I think, you know, he can go be a wide receiver too somewhere and be very serviceable at doing that. I would have liked to see the Packers bring him back simply because I think he's got a big rapport with Jordan Love. I think he brings a different skill set to a guy like Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. However, I do think you can replicate what you have with him with a guy like Dontavian Wicks. I think his, you know, both feet are out the door. His apartment condo is probably already packed up. Like I don't see a world where he's back in Green Bay. But then the rest of the room is pretty set, right? Like I know Watson is on a 1-year deal. Matthew Golden though is, you know, a rookie. So he's got plenty of, of contract ahead of him. Jaden Reed is coming up in a couple years. So I do think that's where it gets interesting. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Packers drafted somebody on day three to have another young contract on the books, knowing that you potentially are deciding between Watson and Reed next season. Maybe you bring both back, but you're also looking at like entertaining a Tucker Kraft extension. So money's going to be eaten up at these skill positions. And, you know, where do you want to divide the resources? So I think that the room looks really good, including the practice squad guys. Like, there's plenty of competition there, but it wouldn't necessarily shock me if they grab another wide receiver on day three, just like I said, to keep the chips stacked so that the cupboard isn't bare if you lose one of Watson and Reed next season.
Wicks too. Watson, yeah. Reed, and Wicks, all unrestricted free agents next year. And so, yes, Green Bay likes to cover themselves a year in advance if they can. And again, they don't have a ton of draft capital, but I'd be pretty surprised if fourth, fifth, sixth round, we didn't see a wide receiver get selected somewhere in that range. It's a pretty deep wide receiver class. I think they'll be able to find somebody, and they've done such a great job in the past. Even somebody like Dontavian Wicks, who was a fifth round pick, finding him, bringing him in. Obviously, Romeo Doubs is a fourth round pick. If they can get their next version of that, that would be huge, and hopefully have somebody ready next year, where it's probably Watson, Golden, Savion Williams, and then maybe this fourth round pick or fifth round pick, who's hopefully ready to go and be the number four receiver next year.
You think it's Watson over Reed? Or did you just forget Reed?
I personally think it's going to be Watson over Reed. It could easily still be Reed. They could go in a variety of different directions. I just think Watson fits this offense a little bit better than Jaden does. And I think that Golden can potentially do a lot of the stuff that Reed already does. I think it's tougher to get two smallish sort of receivers in this Matt LaFleur offense at the same time. And so I think they're going to do it a lot this year, and maybe they like it and love it and want more of it. But for now, I think if I had to lean towards one, I would guess that. In fact, I think Watson gets extended this offseason.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, the kind of run into the postseason, even though it fizzled out, like, his emphasis when he's on the field versus when he's off the field, there's no one else like it, right? Like, we've seen players miss games. Jaden Reed missed significant time this season, and he is dynamic, but there's nobody for this Packers offense that can replicate what Christian Watson does. Maybe, I mean, you're hoping Matthew Golden can kind of be in that same vein, but at least not right now.
Just going back to Doubs for that reason too, there's a lot of people I've seen that they really want Romeo Doubs back. I also see a lot of people saying, I need Matthew Golden to get more snaps. And so those two aren't exactly in lockstep, because again, Watson's going to get a lot of snaps. Reed's going to get a lot of snaps. And yes, maybe you could, you know, cut back on Wicks if you wanted to in that scenario, but I still think he has value. It's really tough to feed all the mouths in this offense, as we saw last year. And when you had all those guys, it was tough to get Golden those opportunities. And I think with Doubs out the door, it just opens up those opportunities that are really, how many times as Goody said, hey, our young guys need to play in order to get this experience. If you bring back Doubs and you still have Reed and Watson and Wicks, it's going to be so hard for Golden and Williams to still get those snaps that they need to also improve. I can't imagine a world in which Doubs is back. And if he is, I would be willing to bet you that there's at least a strong chance that Jaden Reed is maybe traded in that scenario. But I just think Doubs is going to leave in free agency.
I was going to say, if Doubs comes back, you have to think that they don't factor Reed into their long-term plans, and potentially not even Watson. And there's no way that the Packers front office isn't looking at Watson as like the star that they're highlighting of the guy that they want to keep in the wide receiver room.
And potential like fourth round pick for Doubs too, depending on how much he goes for, at worst fifth. But, you know, this is good business in the NFL when you can draft somebody in the fourth round, get four really good years out of them, and they leave, and then you get a fourth round pick for them. Like, you end up equal in your draft capital overall, and you got four great years out of them. That's good business in the NFL. Let's talk about tight end. Tucker Kraft, obviously likely, extension candidate this offseason. You've got Luke Musgrave 1 year left on his deal. Josh Wiley's a restricted free agent. John Fitzpatrick, not only coming off the, I think, Achilles, if I remember correctly, unrestricted free agent. And then you've got guys like McCallan Castles, Messiah Swinson, Drake Dabney. Great group of names, but what are you looking for here at the tight end position?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tucker Kraft gets his mega extension, even, you know, knowing he's coming back from the ACL. Like, I could see it getting done July, August, like before the season starts. Or I guess if you want to give him a month, maybe. I think it gets done well before he hits free agency. Luke Musgrave, obviously you're hoping to see some some growth there. Thought he had more opportunities to do that with Tucker Kraft out. That didn't really transpire the way that we wanted it to. However, you know, obviously those two guys are sticking around. I'd bring back Josh Wiley like immediately. I know he's, was he exclusive rights or
restricted?
Yep. Okay. So yeah, that's a low cost, you know, nice upside for a player who kind of came on at the end of the season by force, right? Like he didn't really have a lot of emphasis there. He didn't have a choice. The tight end room was bare. But yeah, John Fitzpatrick is tough because he's somebody that I would have brought back just on like a cheap team friendly deal to round out the room. But coming back from an Achilles is really tough. And the fact that it happened so late in the season, you know, he's not going to be ready to start the year. Like I could see the Packers just saying like, you know, you're going to be on the unable to perform list for the entirety of the season. We'll probably shut you down. Like you can test the market and see what's out there if you want to take a chance and play in 2026. So I don't think he comes back.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree with you. Really fun group of practice squad names, and certainly guys that could round out the depth chart. Like, this is not necessarily a position I would see the Packers drafting. You've said it. They've only got 8 picks. I don't see them making a move here with the two big names that they have, but I certainly think they'll look in free agency, or like, I guess, undrafted free agency, not like the free agent market, to round out the room for training camp purposes.
The one thing I would say is it does feel like they need more of a blocking tight end somewhere. And they did overcome that a bit by using Darian Kennard in that sort of role, which is something that they can try to do again if they want to. But we have seen these Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and other offenses. Minnesota's done a little bit of it as well. You know, go with two and even three tight end heavy sets. And one name that I do like is Charlie Kohler, who's an unrestricted free agent from the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I think he would potentially bring that blocking element, certainly more than what Luke Musgrave would. And you still get a little bit of receiving chops from him as well. But it's really difficult when you're talking about, you know, to your point from earlier, you've got a few positions that you really need to invest in. You don't have a ton of free agent money. You probably don't want to sign more than two unrestricted free agents because you're going to start canceling out comp mm-hmm. picks. Assuming all six leave, or if you keep one, then you can only probably go and sign one free agent. And so do you really want to utilize one of those resources and one of those potential comp pick cancellations on Charlie Kohler? That's a tough sell. And right. So, you know, is there one late in, you know, on day three again? Now we've already said, all right, wide receiver day three, maybe running back day three, maybe a quarterback day three, maybe it's a, well, they only have so many day three picks too. It's not this easy to just kind of get a little of everything, but I do feel like they have to find somebody outside of Tucker Kraft who can block a little bit more. And again, we also look at a position where maybe they want to get ahead of things. Musgrave, a unrestricted free agent as well in 2027. Maybe they want to get a little bit ahead of that number two tight end spot.
To be fair, Robert Tonyan and Josiah DeGuara are both free agents this offseason. So
what more could you want? And Mercedes Lewis too. Did you bring back the band?
I think Mercedes Lewis should come back. And Ben Sims, look at that. There's so many names on here, but yeah, Chigakonko, I would like that very much, but yeah, not going to necessarily help with your blocking.
No, he would not. No, Chigakonko would not. I guess the other option here too, and I don't think it's likely, but would be a potential Luke Musgrave swap. If some team had a blocking tight end, you know, maybe who had 1 year left on their deal or something like that, and you could swap for Musgrave and give them an opportunity. Maybe they need a receiving tight end. That could be something that you look at too. I think we expect Tucker to be back week one, but that's another little interesting twist to this too, of like, he is coming off a significant injury. And if all of a sudden he is on the PUP list, that position looks a little bit different to start the season.
I think what you've kind of said this whole thing is that the Packers need a fullback. That's what I'm hearing. They don't necessarily need a tight end.
I have made this argument for a year and a half now, May. I would be all in. I think it makes a ton of sense, whether it's Gilliam from Buffalo or whether they try to find one in the draft. It for all their short yardage issues and for, again, if you can't get another tight end or a blocking tight end, hey, maybe try the fullback in the backfield and give Josh Jacobs somebody to run behind and see how that works. I would be totally for that. He ran behind, I think, Ingold with the Raiders, if I remember correctly, for a few seasons. I could be misremembering that, but I think he ran behind a fullback in with the Raiders prior. So yeah. I would love to give him that opportunity to run behind it again and maybe utilize that fullback in some of those short yardage situations.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Me too. All right, offensive line. Rashid's an unrestricted free agent. Sean Ryan's an unrestricted free agent. Lasita Smith and Darian Kennard are restricted. Donovan Jennings is an exclusive rights free agent. Coming back, at least as of now, I think we expect Aaron Banks to be there. Elton Jenkins likely getting cut. You have Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Jacob Monk, John Williams, Travis Glover coming back from injury. Then you do have a couple guys on the 90-man as well. Dalton Cooper, Brant Banks, and Carson Barnhart is the other one. This is a really interesting one. I'm really curious your thoughts on where you want to go here. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before and we had young kids at the time and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers' promise is simple. All you do is take 3 capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you.
Yeah, so to me, I think Rashid Walker is out the door simply because, you know, if you look at like the spot track estimates, he is going to net somewhere around like 20 mil a year. And that almost feels conservative for like a left tackle. I think somebody's going to overpay him to be their franchise left tackle. And I don't think the Packers should be in the market to do that.
Agreed.
Especially like you drafted Jordan Morgan to play left tackle and they keep talking about like, oh, it'd be really nice if he could settle into one singular position. And then these injuries just make him bounce around. Like, here is a singular position, make him your left tackle and see what happens. He clearly is not your right guard of the future. So just like move him to left tackle and let it ride. You know, Zach Tom is reliable at right tackle, unless I've seen, you know, some interesting conversations about moving Zach Tom to left tackle and, you know, figuring out your right tackle. I think leave Zach Tom alone, let him stay where he's comfortable, where he's played really, really well for consecutive seasons. And just leave that alone. I think Elton Jenkins is gone, but I wouldn't be shocked if Sean Ryan comes back. Yeah. You know, I could see them saying like, test the market, see what you can get. But if you, you know, want to take a team friendly deal and stick around, he's a nice depth piece, right? Like, I don't know if you want him to be your center long-term, but he's played just about everywhere on the interior. So if you bring him back and he's competition at center and then a guy like Jacob Monk beats him out for the starting job, well, he's first off the bench if either of your guards go down or if your center goes down. So I could see him, you know, coming back if he doesn't get paid money elsewhere to go be a starter. Kind of like the John Runyon situation where I thought he could come back, but he went and got paid by the Giants. And you were like, okay, good for you. Like the Packers should not have paid that. So good for you.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say like Anthony Belton is interesting because I think you want him to be a tackle, but if you got Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom, then where does Belton fit? Like, I didn't love him at right guard, but if that's where you want to play him, I agree that Banks comes back. And then I would bring back Darian Kennard, just to your point, even about using him as like a sixth offensive lineman. I think for what he'll cost, that's kind of invaluable. And again, he's a depth piece at tackle if you really do run into trouble with injuries the same way that you did in 2025.
I'm a little bit torn here. There's a piece of me that says, all right, bring back Sean Ryan. You get Zach Tom back healthy, you know, figure out a little bit more of your depth. But Jordan Morgan's going to start at left tackle. Banks is probably back at left guard. You put Sean Ryan in at center. You've got Belton at right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle, and voila, you've got your starting line. That feels like probably closest to what they might do, even if it's not Sean Ryan. Maybe they sign a center. Cade Mays is a name that there's two names, one at corner I've talked about a lot, Monteric Brown, and then at center, Cade Mays, that scream Green Bay Packer the most to me of any free agents this offseason. So maybe they could go in that direction. But there's another piece of me that just wants to say, the one thing as I was watching even early in the year last year, before Tucker Kraft got hurt for the year, before Micah Parsons got hurt for the year, before anything sort of went haywire, was I didn't think that they had the offensive line to truly compete for a championship. And I don't know that I feel just Jordan Morgan taking Rashid Walker's spot at left tackle, Belton being a year older at right guard, Sean Ryan getting more experience at center, and then just Banks and Tom being where they basically were. I don't know that to me that screams, yep, now things are better slash improved. And when Jordan was protected, he's been just a stone cold assassin, arguably best quarterback in the league when he's protected. And when you give Josh Jacobs any sort of running room, he has been phenomenal. And to me, yes, there's holes at defensive tackle and corner that we're going to talk about. But if you get this offense a really good, you know, offensive line, Matt's offense works, these receivers work, Jordan works, Tucker Kraft works, Jacobs works, everything works. And I think it has the ability to work at an extremely high level. I don't think they can get in the Linderbaum conversation. Maybe Connor McGovern makes some sense, but that's not their usual type of signee. I don't have a great answer here, Maggie, but there's a piece of me that just wants to say, I don't care what you have to do, but do everything you can to build this offensive line as strong as it can possibly be. Because if you can, it feels like this offense can be truly superpowered.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it just, we've talked about it before. I think on Pack a Day, we've talked about it on Packs, what she said, but like, it feels like Matt LaFleur is just kind of like square peg round hole, this offensive line where he envisions his offense operating a certain way. Yeah. And then the horses he's got, it's like, oh shoot, well, I have Clydesdales and I would really like them to be racehorses. And it just doesn't work for the offense that he's trying to run. That's why I thought the Aaron Banks signing was really interesting. Like, you can tell what he wants this offense to be, and Josh Jacobs being there, like, he wants this to be like a power ground and pound, you know, the run opens up the pass. And I think that so many of us watch this game and we're like, please just let Jordan Love sling it. You know, like, we grew up with Aaron Rodgers and the phenomenal pass blocking of like Corey Linsley, David Bakhtiari, like all of the guys. And now you're getting into an offensive line where it's like power first. Like, you, they're people movers, and we've seen them move people, but it just doesn't really like mesh with what I envision this Packers offense being the best at. So I think that's kind of the struggle too, is like, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And they're dressing for a different style of offense.
And it feels like too, they don't have a vision right now of exactly, because you've got what's probably going to be Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom at tackles, who are more, not necessarily undersized, but smallish tackles who are quick footed, who are probably more pass protecting type tackles. And then you go get Belton, who is now, again, I guess at tackle, but is probably going to play right guard. And he's more of a big sort of, at least in ideally a movie, you know, movement type of mauling guard. If Sean Ryan's at center, again, he's not a good pass protector. He's a more run blocking player. And then Banks is sort of like this in between of, he looks the part of a mauler, but he kind of plays a little bit more finesse. It just, when Green Bay with Aaron went, and even before that, at times with Brett, yeah, they were a little on the smaller finesse side, but it was kind of across the line. Scott Wells was smaller. Like, they've had these kind of guys, but they, hey, we're going to be pass protect first. We're going to be great at pass protection. We'll figure out the other stuff along the way. This just feels like it's a hodgepodge mismatch of everything that doesn't quite fit together the way that you need it to. They've got to figure out a couple tweaks here.
Yeah, and I think that's where a fullback would come in really handy.
There you go. That too. The blocking tight end fullback. They just, couple things here or there, but I'm very interested to see what they do on the offensive line. All right, from one trenches to the other, let's start on the interior defensive line. You've got Wyatt coming back, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson. Jordan Riley's got the Achilles as well. He's going to be out for a while. And this year, Stackhouse, Jonathan Ford's a restricted free agent. You've got four no-name defensive tackles. The biggest name is probably James Esther in there that are on the 90-man as well. But missing a big guy, Colby Wooden had to play a ton of snaps this past year as kind of your primary nose, which he basically put on weight to do in the offseason. Thank goodness he did, because otherwise they would have really been screwed. So where are you looking at this defensive tackle position?
I think I said it on the Pack a Day I came on with you and Dusty and Perry, but it was such a bummer for Jordan Riley to go down, because he felt like such a bright spot. Like, they brought him in and you're like, okay, you don't really expect a lot out of these like street free agents or these late round guys that come in. And it felt like he was playing so well. And now, you know, he's not going to be available, we would imagine, to start the season. But
yeah,
it's like they have the depth and they have pieces, but nobody that you want to like reliably hang your hat on. They're guys that you'd be like, okay, I'm comfortable with them playing 20 snaps a game or 20% of defensive snaps. Not as much as they have been playing. Like there's guys that show flashes. Like I think you could argue that Carl Brooks has probably looked the best from the depth group beyond Devontae Wyatt, but he's going to need help. And this is where I do think that if it were me, at least, this is a night two pick in the draft. I don't know if it's second or third round, depending on how the board falls. It seems like there's a decent group of nose tackles this year, but if you want, you know, to give Micah the edge, and we'll talk about, you know, the rest of what that room looks like, but they need some help up front. And again, like the depth is there. I thought Warren Brinson played pretty well and Azir Stackhouse played pretty well, but they're not guys that you want to be out there for like 70% of your defensive snaps.
It feels like you have Devontae Wyatt as your three technique. And we don't know if they're going to be 3-4 or 4-3 at this point, but kind of your pass rushing defensive tackle, if you will, or maybe your overall defensive tackle. Wooden to me feels like he can be your number three defensive tackle. It feels like Brooks can be your four, Brinson can be your five, Stackhouse can be your six, but it feels like they're missing that one other starter. And if they get that one other starter, preferably more of a run stuffer, everything just fits into place. You've got your starting run stuffer playing next to Devontae Wyatt, and then you've got Wooden and Brooks following that, and then Brinson and Stackhouse following that. And that just feels like everything sort of clicks into place and everyone's where they should be. And quite frankly, what it was supposed to be: Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt as your two defensive tackles, then with Brooks and Wooden, then with Brinson and Stackhouse, and everything probably would have clicked into place. But once you traded away Clark, they were missing that starting caliber guy. Everyone else had to fill in. They did as much as they could, but they need that one more starting defensive tackle.
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets really interesting. Like, we don't know, like you said, what Jonathan Gannon is going to run with yet. But if you're looking at like how you line up your edge rushers, right? Like, I thought they got really creative with Micah lining up over the nose. Like, you have the versatility in your front to do some of those things, but you still need, like, you don't want Micah to be at nose tackle and like a run set. Like, you want somebody that is a bigger body. Like, I don't think TJ Slayton would have been the magic bullet here that would have fixed the defensive line, but his absence, like that, you know, that body type is something that they certainly have not been able to replicate as far as a starter opposite Devontae Wyatt.
No, good version of TJ Slayton would have been really, really nice. He didn't play that way in Cincinnati last year, but the idealistic version of him would have been awesome. Losing him and Kenny in the same offseason and then not really being able to replace either definitely stung, and you felt it last year. Let's go to defensive end, because this is a really fun one too. Micah is going to be coming back from the ACL injury, might miss the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season on the PUP list. We'll have to wait and see. You've got LVN, you've got Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver, and then you've got Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby as restricted free agents. Kingsley Nagbari is an unrestricted free agent. And then, of course, Rashawn Gary currently on the roster, at least as we're recording this, TBD to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Micah's just blowing away his recovery, but I still wouldn't, you know, gamble on him starting the season. And even if he does, I think it would be, you know, the same vein as Rashawn Gary, where he needs like a couple weeks of a ramp up period and he gets more and more snaps kind of as he acclimates. But yeah, I think Rashawn Gary is a cap casualty, and I don't have any like, you know, negatives about that, I guess I should say. Like, in the Chiefs TV article that I guess will have come out a week ago at this point, by the time people are listening to this, somebody asked like my preferences for free agency. It's to bring back JJ Nagbari. Like, I don't think it's a hot take to say that he's the guy that should come back. I don't know what his value is on the open market, but SpotTrack has him at like $6 million a year. I think you do that 10 out of 10 times. Rashawn Gary's getting Quinn and Williams money, right? Like, you can use that money for resources elsewhere and it'll make a bigger impact. But if you're looking at a season or a season opener where Micah can't play, then all of a sudden it's LVN and who, you know, I'd feel a heck of a lot better if it's LVN and JJ Nagbari versus, I don't know, LVN and like Brenton Cox. And I'm also team bring Brenton Cox back. Like, I like him as a fifth option, but I don't necessarily see that being, and I guess we didn't even talk about like Baron Sorrell. I'm really excited to see what he does in year two. Training with Micah Parsons in the offseason, that's pretty cool. And Colin Oliver, we've like an unknown commodity at this point. So I do think there's a lot of depth there. Could potentially be a day three selection, but I do think given that the Packers, to your earlier point, preach about letting the young guys get more reps, I think that room's probably pretty set outside of, you know, the shakeup of like losing Rashawn.
Yeah, to me, to your, you know, what you said about Enigbare, whether it's Enigbare or whether they bring Rashawn back, which I don't think they should do, or I don't think they will do, or finding somebody somewhere else. It's kind of what we talked about, defensive tackle. Micah's your one, and then I think LVN can be your two, and then I think Oliver and Sorrell, let's say Sorrell is your four, Oliver's your five, maybe Brenton Cox is your six, or maybe they bring back Mosby or something like that. All of those click into place really well, but that number three sort of defensive end spot where they can spot start while Micah's out, again, whether that's Enigbare, whether that's Gary, whether that's somebody else, it feels like that's the spot they have to fill. And I think Enigbare, if they can get him for a good price, that probably does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I just like, you know, the Packers tend to be like, you know, really attached to their draft picks. And I just don't think that Rashawn has proven that he is, you know, worthy of keeping around, and he could go play lights out somewhere. Right. But, you know, it's like motor issues. And I've just, JJ Enigbare has played every single game for the Packers since he's been drafted, and his motor always seems to be hot. He seems to make an impact play when the Packers need him to. And I was scratching my brain, like, not sure when the last time was that we were like, oh, we really need Rashawn to get there. And he actually got there. So that's tough.
By the end of the year, LVN and Enigbare were both out snapping Rashawn Gary too. It wasn't by much. It was only like by a handful of snaps, but they were out. And now if Micah's back, right? So now Micah's ahead of him. And if you, you know, if you bring LVN back, LVN's ahead of him. And if you bring back Enigbare, like there's,
yeah,
he can't be he can't get paid that much and be your number three or number four defensive end. You just can't do it. It feels like the writing's on the wall. And again, maybe as people are listening to this, that deed has already been done, but you never know with Green Bay, with how loyal they are to players. We'll have to wait and see, but it seems like a foregone conclusion. At least it should be at this point in time. Off-ball linebacker, Quay Walker, unrestricted free agent, Christian Welch, and Nick Neiman, both unrestricted free agents as well. You've got Edge, you've got Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, and then Jamin Johnson as your other linebackers on the roster.
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I kind of put Quay Walker in my Rashid Walker and Romeo Doubs category, where I think that he's going to get paid to be a starter somewhere else. And I don't think that Green Bay is going to entertain, you know, the price that he will cost.
I'm with you.
We don't know, you know, right? We just talked about it, what Jonathan Gannon's going to run. But if we think it'll be like some of that match quarters and potentially like a 3-4, I could see him just keeping two inside linebackers, right? And I think if that's the case, it's going to be Edgerrin Cooper, and Isaiah McDuffie is going to be like your downhill run stuffer. And then you're going to go heavy with like an extra safety, you know, when, if you play dime. So to me, that, like, I think that this room is pretty set even without Quay Walker. I think Cooper's still the guy. Tyron Hopper is going to get more looks. I thought Jamin Johnson had a really fun preseason. If he sticks around, the Nick Neiman thing is interesting to me because he was such a core special teamer that we didn't like see him play defense at all. And then he got injured. Yep. So now that Rich Bisacci is gone, I don't know if like some of these core special teamers are going to stick around, you know, as like a transitional bridge between the new and the old, or if they're just going to want to go in a completely different direction. So I know he's a free agent. I can't imagine he would cost a ton to bring back, but yeah, I think the linebackers are pretty set without even needing to consider bringing Quay back.
I wouldn't hate one more to compete with McDuffie and Hopper in that number two spot and just give one more option. Maybe that's a fourth or fifth round pick. Maybe that's a value free agent that got cut somewhere that you can bring in for like 1 year, $3 million, something like that. I wouldn't hate that, but it does feel to me, and I would actually like to see Neiman be brought back for special teams purposes. Mm-hmm. But if you've got Cooper, McDuffie, Hopper, and then maybe again, some sort of vet or rookie within kind of Neiman as your five, and then maybe Jamin Johnson competing for a spot as well, that feels pretty solid overall. Again, maybe just one more piece, but even if you don't, I don't think it's dire, but it just maybe a little bit more competition.
Yeah. And I mean, I could certainly, we've already assigned what, like six picks to day three, but it makes sense for the Packers to look there or priority free agents. There are a ton of names like at the kind of the back end of free agency that I could see the Packers picking up the phone on. But yeah, I think Isaiah McDuffie's probably going to get that job, but I would like to see to your point, an additional body, knowing that they're probably going to be there to play special teams, if nothing else, for the bulk of their rookie year.
We'll be right back. All right, the big one, which Brian Gutekunst said does not need an overhaul, is corner. You've got Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Ballantyne, Nate Hobbs as of now, Shamar Bartholomew, Jalen Simpson-ish, who's kind of between corner and safety. You've got Javon Bullard, who plays in the slot. And then as far as 90-man guys, you've got Tyron Herring, and that's it. And then you have Bo Melton, who can play there a little bit as well, allegedly, although we never saw him actually play a snap there in the regular season. What do you do with corner?
I think Bo Melton falls into the special teams category where, you know, if you really like him for what he brings to WeFence, then you keep him around.
WeFence is dead, Maggie. WeFence is dead. We don't have to use that word ever again. It's dead.
I was fine with it.
Oh, no.
I don't think he's going to play. Like, you don't want him to be taking wide receiver snaps to this whole point about getting Matthew Golden touches. So I think he's probably out the door. I really liked Kamal Haddon, but knowing that he's got, you know, the gruesome ankle injury to come back from.
It sounds like he's going to be ready to go for a break. And like, it breaks to me always seems like they look horrendous and they look worse, but they are so much better than ACL mm-hmm. and MCL and stuff like that. So I think he's going to be okay to go for like camp and things like that.
Okay. Then yeah, I like him as a depth piece for sure. I don't see the Packers making moves. Like, I think they give Nate Hobbs another year. And I thought that Nate Hobbs played better, you know, as the nickel than he did on the boundary. I know that's not necessarily why the Packers brought him in. They wanted him to be one of those boundary guys. But if we're thinking that Jonathan Gannon is going to have 60 DBs on the field, you've got your three safeties, and then you're going to need potentially a third corner as well. So that would probably be Hobbs in that instance. So I don't see them making moves here. I would certainly love that to be one of their day two picks, right, in the second or third round. I think it should be. But you're also planning for the future there, right? You've got just about everybody up except for Nate Hobbs. Like, Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Ballantyne are going to be free agents in the same year. So
correct.
Certainly planning ahead that way would make sense to draft somebody in the second round. But I think it'll be one of those frustrating things where they draft somebody early. And then again, Packers fans on Blue Sky and Twitter are complaining about the fact that they're not in the starting lineup and getting the snaps that we want them to for being such a, you know, a high draft selection.
The other thing that I'm keeping an eye on here too, is there was some, you know, when Keyshawn Nixon got asked about it at the end of the year, it seemed like he wanted maybe raise/extension. I don't think Green Bay is going to want to entertain that too much. So If there's anybody that's kind of like a holdout, hold in sort of candidate of like things could get a little messy/drama, Nixon might be that. And that could get very interesting. And then they seem to want to bench Carrington Ballantyne at the end of the year. And then people like,
they kind
of
benched him
for Haddon, and then Haddon got hurt. They benched him for Hobbs and Hobbs got hurt. It felt like they were kind of done with that experience. So I expect Nixon to be a starter almost no matter what, unless something crazy happens. But Ballantyne is the one where I do feel like there's a possibility there. Maybe it's Hobbs. Maybe they do get somebody in day two. Maybe they sign a free agent, but that's one I'm going to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, the Nixon thing, like I agree that I think he's back, but I don't know if there would be anything to it. But knowing how close he was to Rich Bisaccia coming over from the Raiders together, if Rich is out the door, you know, he posted like the broken heart emoji. And I just want to really quickly say, I know it's a long past at this point, but like everything we've heard about Rich Bisaccia as a human being just seems like the most phenomenal, incredible dude. Like, you can understand why a locker room would rally behind him, even if, you know, he maybe wasn't it as a special teams coordinator. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything to that, but I could also see Keyshawn being like, well, he's why I was sticking around. And now I'm going to your point, you know, be a holdout, hold in and see what else is out there for me.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's near impossible for us to measure that sort of tangible or intangible quality of like what he means to the locker room. There's not a single person that doesn't talk to a T about what he brings to the culture of the Green Bay Packers. And so we can't be like, well, you know, Quay Walker made that tackle because of the culture that Rich Bisaccia made, you know, brought to the team. Like we can't quantify it in any way, but there is a real world in which that had some real legitimate value and now that's gone. So maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something. Maybe they gain something enough on special teams with some new ideas that it makes up for any of the culture stuff. But man, it does feel like that could potentially be a loss in the locker room in some real way.
The one free agent I'd be interested in is throwing the bag at Chris Banjo. Just take him from the Jets. Don't worry you about
can
players.
Trade for coordinators, right? Can you trade for Chris Banjo? I'm all in. Do what you need to do. Let's finish up with safety. You've got this feels like, you know, arguably the easiest position to discuss. You've got Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams. Bullard plays in the slot, but can certainly back up at safety. You still have Ketanji Adapo. Even Jonathan Baldwin played well in that Vikings game when he actually got a chance. Kind of the only, you also have Mark Perry, who was a late pickup as a 90-man guy. The only real question here is Zane Anderson. He's a restricted free agent and kind of what you do there, but it doesn't really feel like this position needs much of anything at the moment.
Yeah, and the Zane Anderson thing to me, I know he's dealing with an injury as well. It seems like, you know, the entirety of the roster was at this point. But, you know, if he comes back again, special teams, I don't think you want him to be in your starting even three as a safety, but obviously has been a core special teamer for the Packers in his entirety with the Packers. So he could be, I guess, your fifth option. But yeah, I mean, I think we knew the plan, right? In when they brought in Xavier McKinney and then drafted three safeties in the same round. So that room is pretty set. And the conversations are going to get interesting in a couple of years when you have to look at like who you extend and who you keep. But yeah, I thought that Oladapo played well, just even like in his, you know, spot role when he was asked to fill in when guys were injured. So I think the depth there is about, it's probably the best room in terms of like comfort level going into the season with the bodies that you have, if any of them, you know, would be forced into a starting spot.
I mean, Xavier's been fantastic his entire time in Green Bay. And then Evan and Javon Bullard arguably took the two biggest steps on the entire team last season. Evan played unbelievable football and Javon played really well. And again, even guys like Ketanji Adapo, I think can be good or just mostly untested because they just haven't even needed them. Feels like a very good situation to be in. I guess I should ask, Daniel Whalen, Matt Orzech feel pretty set, but you do have Brandon McManus. You do have Haversick as well. And then you have no returners. So it does. And then of course, as we're recording this, we still have no special teams coordinator as well, but some interesting special teams stuff there too.
Yeah. I think Brandon McManus sticks around just because it seems like they're willing to blame injuries for, you know, a lot of the misses that happened this season. Sure. Returner's interesting. You know, I think you could put like Savion Williams back there, like in a pinch. So I don't know what that looks like, but I think that's about as set as it's going to be. Really curious to see, you know, like who they bring in as their coordinator, or if they want to promote internally to Harkey, who's like the only person left in the special teams room. And he's been with them for a whopping 1 year. But yeah, I think that one's pretty set too. I don't think McManus is going anywhere as much as Packer fans would want him to.
I think you're probably right. I would like some legitimate competition for that spot. Yeah. Not only did he have the three, I was looking through this the other day. Not only did he have the three missed field goals and the earth kicks in the playoffs this year, missed a 30 some yarder in the Eagles game in the playoffs the year before too. 38 yarder. I think it was like that just gives me some hesitation and trepidation. And you also have kickers now who are making 60 yard kicks, and it doesn't feel like that's anywhere near his repertoire right now of being able to do something like that. So yeah, I want some real level of competition. I think he's going to make it no matter what, probably back on the team, but I wouldn't hate some competition there.
I think I pulled the numbers on it, and I could be wrong now at this point, but I'm pretty sure he was exactly 50% kicks over 40 yards, not like kicks over 50. It was like over 40 yards. And you're like, man, you know, you've got Cam Little kicking a 67 yarder, making it look easy. Like that thing could have gone for 70. Yeah. And then McManus is struggling outside of 40. So just not great.
Not great. Definitely should be looked at, but I'm kind of with you. Especially off what Goody said, I know he lies, but I do think McManus probably gets a real opportunity to come back and be the kicker next year.
Yeah.
All right, Maggie, anything we missed? Any final thoughts on this roster? Anything, any free agent crushes, anything else you want to go over?
No, but I think now that I've declared the guys that I would bring back and the guys I'd get rid of, the exact opposite is going to happen because that seems to be the case. But yeah, I haven't like dove too deep into free agency this year the way I normally would, just because I think this Packers roster is pretty set and they've got 8 draft picks. I know they don't have the first rounder, but if they lose, you know, Rashawn Gary, Elton Jenkins, that certainly gives them a little bit of money to play around with. But I think there aren't too many like starting jobs available. So the players that they bring in are certainly going to be depth pieces, I would imagine, right? Like I could see them going into the bargain bin of corners, to your point earlier, and looking at, you know, a guy who could round out the room, because the injury bug hit them really bad last year, or a tight end, a fullback. But yeah, I don't think the Packers are going to make any earth-shattering moves. And it's kind of hard to do that, right? After they brought in Xavier McKinney and Micah Parsons. Unless they went in and got like Trey Hendrickson, there's not really anything they could do at this point, I think, that would eclipse the last couple seasons that they've had.
I think it's going to eclipse. It wouldn't shock me if they took a swing at a corner, nose tackle, or a center, especially a center. Those wouldn't surprise me, but I do think there's a world in which Sean Ryan comes back as the center. They take a second round pick at corner and then a third at nose tackle, or vice versa. And those are kind of the big transactions as well. I'm still expecting one Nate Hobbs-ish level $12 to $15 million swing this offseason. What that's on, that's going to be interesting to me. And it could be extremely important that they get that right.
Yeah. Especially what, two picks inside the top 100?
Yep. That's it.
So that's it. You got to hit those.
They do need to hit it. This is an extremely interesting offseason, both on, you know, extensions. We didn't even talk fifth year option for LVN. What they do to enhance their draft as best they can without having a first round pick and nail those picks. Don't have a ton of money in free agency, but have some if they want to make again, one maybe swing at something. They don't have a ton, but what they do have, they're going to have to get right. And this is going to be, I think, one of Goody's most important free agents and draft periods, period.
Yeah, especially because, you know, you look around the NFC North and these teams are still good, still ascending. The Indiana Bears ended your season and you have to, you know, you have to give it to him for that. So certainly I expect the Vikings to be better, right? So it's just going to get harder now that the NFC is shaken out.
The Chicago Bears of Indiana, what was the LA Angels of Anaheim or something? And you have the Giants and Jets playing in New Jersey. Technically times are weird. Everything is a bit weird, but I guess technically Green Bay is actually in Ashwaubenon. So
true. That's true.
A little bit different, but Maggie, I cannot thank you enough. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible work.
Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky at Maggie J. Loney. You can find me podcasting with Perry Goldstein on Packs What She Said. And I also do one column a week for She Said TV called Ask Maggie or Packers Mailbag. You can send in questions to chtvmailbag@gmail.com. And that publishes on Fridays during the offseason. So you've got Saturday to Thursday to get your questions in. And those will run on Friday morning. So a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of random stuff. Doesn't always have to be whatever the hot button topic is of the week, because normally, honestly, by the time the questions come in and then we have a week to sit on it, it's not breaking news anymore. But still a lot of fun, a nice way to keep the off season more entertaining.
By the way, how dare you pick your favorite players for your team of favorite players? What were you thinking of taking players that you liked on a team of players that you liked?
I learned my lesson.
Oh, that's so funny. For those who don't know, Maggie wrote an article of like who her like all-time favorite team of Packers would be or whatever. And people were upset with who her Packers were that she liked the most.
I don't think they read it. Like, I think they just looked at the list and thought that I was going like for talent reasons. Okay.
No spoilers necessary, I guess, but once you get to Richard Rodgers, I would hope that somebody then reading the article would be like, okay, she's not putting this together for greatest Packers. Oh, she's doing this as her favorite Packers, but it's okay.
Favorite, like memorable moments even, but yes. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I was so happy to see that you were back writing for Cheesehead TV. The more Maggie we can get, the better. And your writing is always fantastic. So follow her, Cheesehead TV, of course, Packs What She Said. Maggie J. Loney on Blue Sky. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL, both on Blue Sky and on Twitter. That is going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.